Hey everyone, Richard here. As professional podcasters know, you need the right set of tools to host, distribute, and monetize your show. Without the right platform, you could end up with hours of manual work, poor listening experiences, and little to show for it. Advertising Week Podcast just switched our hosting over to Art19, and I've got to say, it is seriously an enterprise-grade solution. An Amazon company, Art19, provides the infrastructure to host podcasts, distribute content across various listening platforms, and customize RSS feeds. The platform also offers tools to help podcasters generate revenue through campaign management and ad-serving technologies. I now have access to deep analytics that help me understand audience interaction with our content and the effectiveness of our ad campaigns. This isn't just your typical hosting platform. Art19 is a complete professional suite of podcast publishing, advertising, and analytics tools for the sophisticated creator. Visit art19.com today to learn more. Recorded live at Advertising Week New York 2025 in the heart of Manhattan, you're listening to AW360 Live, powered by Art19. AW360 Live features thought leadership interviews and conversations with the best and brightest in the industry. From the latest advancements in AI and ad tech to the most creative minds in advertising, AW360 Live speaks with today's changemakers across marketing, media, tech, and culture, all from our on-site studio at the Penn District, the heart of the industry's most dynamic event, Advertising Week New York. We invite you to subscribe to AW360 Live on your podcast platform of choice, share with your friends and colleagues, and most of all, enjoy the show. You're listening to the AW360 Live podcast, recorded live on site at Advertising Week New York 2025 and presented by Art19. I'm here with Dori Ellis Garfinkel, Chief Marketing Officer at Siegel & Gale. Hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
So how is your week so far at Advertising Week?
I am exhausted.
Good thing it's the final day.
But I'm so happy to be here. And, you know, there's been some inspiring moments. But my hot take is actually that Advertising Week, you guys need a new name for Advertising Week because it's just like Adrenaline Week or kind of Everything Week because there is so much just jammed in. It's like you should kind of see what you want to see, you know, whatever you come for, there you shall find it.
I've always wondered if anybody has ever seen it all.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't think it's possible, but I've just wondered, you know,
if anybody has, it might just be you.
I can assure you, I've been locked in this room for three straight days, so I've probably seen the least of anybody.
Okay. Yeah. But still seen some things.
I've seen some things, yeah. I mean, big glass windows, it's interesting because nobody knows you've seen those things, you know, because you're back here. There's a certain amount of anonymity until you walk in this room, or at least my perception is that nobody's out there looking in here. I'm only in here looking out there.
That's pretty major. That's deep.
Day four deep.
Oh, yeah. We had a dinner last night for clients and friends aboard the USS Intrepid.
Oh, wow.
On the aircraft elevator. So our dinner was like suspended off the edge of the side of the ship.
Wow.
And it was like looking over the Hudson. And it was so fun just to talk about why branding and marketing is such an adventure.
Yeah.
Especially lately.
Yeah.
And to watch like 20 CMOs of enterprise companies on a VR machine, like on a ride, like at Disneyland, and take pictures of them and, you know, watch them try not to puke. So that was our night. It was fun.
Well, let's get started on that note. Tell us about, for the uninitiated, Siegel & Gale.
Mm-hmm. So Siegel & Gale is what I like to think of as we tend to do the work that others run away from. And we have a lot of the clients that are really struggling with a few different things. You know, the largest mergers and acquisitions and spinoffs in history, we've held hands with those clients and walked them through that, helped them stay committed to our philosophy of simplicity. That's been our philosophy for a really, really long time. And today it takes on a kind of an urgency, I would say. You know, you mentioned simplicity in a room full of CMOs and they'll go, yeah, we love it. We want it. We know it. It's important. We want to connect with our customers in ways that convey simplicity, but it's difficult to do. it's difficult to stay consistent with that. And it's difficult to actually take, you know, 30 sub brands and sense make during a merger acquisition and, you know, actually make it so that you come out with more value from those difficult moments. So I like to also drop the fact that we designed the NBA logo casually into conversation. And it's interesting, too, because like when you think about the arc of the sports industry and sports marketing and how hot it is right now, it's just cool to be able to claim that, because I think that that was sort of a turning point for the value of sports marketing branding early on. And yeah, I mean, I think name a giant merger acquisition spinoff and we've done it. We work a lot in healthcare, financial services, tech, and yeah. And so...
pretty much everything.
Manufacturing. Yeah, we're everywhere. You know, I was trying to think of the word the other day, but I was so exhausted. It might even be not so much of a stretch to say we're sort of like the Illuminati of branding. Like, we're behind those big moves that, like, nobody sees. And we come in and we're sharp and we're focused. And we're kind of like the whisperers that, you know, we know the essential truth of your brand and what you need to do to drive connection. But a lot of our work, you know, we can't talk about.
Well, got it. Well, let's dive into simplicity. How do you see simplicity functioning as something of a competitive advantage in today's marketplace? I mean, because the marketplace is ridiculously complex.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess there's one angle right there is you're, you know, going against the grain, you're looking for simplicity, but yeah. How do you see it?
Everyone makes decisions now like a consumer, yeah. Right? Everyone is really personal about how they spend their money and are informed by more sources and influences than ever before. So you almost have kind of like a tyranny of choice, and everybody feels it and experiences it, and the complexity is real. I think you've also got some amount of paralysis going on and fear. This came up quite a bit at dinner last night, where you have brands that, you know, come forward with a new idea or a new aspect of their brand, and it's a data-made decision. And you could have all the data in the world that tells you that the outcome will be X, but then it hits the market and everybody calls you, you know, some sort of evil, you know, evil entity. So when I think about simplicity and the urgency around it today, it's a real opportunity for authenticity and clarity to kind of combine in a way that both tells the story that is the core truth of your business and your brand and what you want to, you know, say to your audiences, but also matching up with what your audiences really are looking for at the end of the day, because you've got a lot of distraction in today's business climate. Right. And you want to peel back and distill what matters most to understand the simple connection that you can drive. But it won't land unless you also really, really know your customer. And it's a real careful craft. You know, I like to use the example of the dog intuitively knows to catch the frisbee, in that when you have successfully wielded simplicity, your customers are intuitively going to catch that frisbee. They get it. You know, you've got them locked in, and that's what helps your brand endure.
Excellent. Well, you know, we live in a world where of increasing complexity and increasing information overload and shrinking attention spans. What in your mind does it actually take for brands to cut through all of that and build, you know, proper, meaningful, lasting relationships with audiences in ways that preferably endure?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first, I would like to just kind of share, you know, the simplicity research that we have done. We've got, you know, years and years of reports around like the world's simplest brands and how simplicity has a direct correlation with valuation. I don't think anybody would be surprised really to hear that, that, you know, if you're a public company and you've gone through the process with us, like, let's say, I don't know, CVS Health, we did inside out employee led purpose exercise that turned into a moment of you know, high risk for the business because they had decided to take tobacco off shelves and become less of a convenience store and more of a purpose-led pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And we were behind that, and we have seen that business just explode. They took the risk to take something off shelves, cutting billions of dollars of revenue, and in turn, they've grown and endured because of their purpose-led culture, and starting with the employees as the people who are going to have the most emotional reaction to anything having to do with their company or their brand. Once you've won them over and you've made that connection, that tends to be a good signal for how to move forward. And I sort of wonder about some of the recent rebrands and how they thought about the, you know, the day-to-day lives of the people who work there and how they feel about the company and what they really think is important. Again, it's not easy to find out what's important.
Yeah.
Yep. And sometimes it's that one single insight, but you gotta really go into a lot of detail, and you have to be very, very diligent. You have to really make sure you're using the right tools to get to that insight. And just, you can't gut check enough.
Siegel & Gale sits at the intersection of branding, customer experience, organizational change, probably a few other things, but let's focus on those three. How do you define brand experience today? And I think more importantly, what are clients asking for now that they weren't asking for even a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'll give you an example. Last night, someone said to the group as kind of an open question, I'm in healthcare pharma, mm-hmm. you know, and I have to make the call whether or not to step forward with my brand or to hang back right now. There's a lot of urgency for making decisions and a lot of paralysis at the same time. And on a really deep level, I think a lot of our clients are just wondering how to navigate through some significant landmines that are culture driven. But you also see a desire to be out there and taking part in culture so that you maintain your relevance. And what I think has been happening, and I've been seeing it quite a bit this week, is that you're getting sort of blending of different disciplines. You know, you can have advertising, but you can't just have advertising anymore. When you talk about a brand experience, it's all of it. And the pressure has never been higher to deliver that consistently to your customers. Because the second that you break from that, they're gone,
yeah.
right? And so you have to nurture that trust, and you have to maintain that consistently. And for us, we have a lot of financial services work, and we have a lot. We came up with the number one loyalty program in financial services with a special card, which I'm sure you could guess, but I can't talk about publicly.
Sure.
But we made all those cards for many years, and we created the end-to-end experience of holding that card. And so we broke through and cracked the code for what it means to surround your customer with a brand experience that is inclusive of customer experience, which is also brand, but it all needs to hang together. And so, I mean, actually, I've been really obsessed with this idea that maybe branding needs a rebrand because of the fact that it's just everything. Like if it exists, it's branding.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. And now you're getting deep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sleep deprived. No, but that's what I mean is I think, smart, clever marketers right now, under these crazy constraints and under this immense pressure to deliver, have to be very, very clever about how they think about their investments and how they think about ROI, in that, you know, you gotta kind of think about everything as everything.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting your advertising line and your media under your brand, and you're putting your brand budget under all of that. And it's all kind of, it can be kind of clumped together. I think that when you look at your channel mix and you go, I can't attribute a sale to a click anymore.
Yeah.
Right? It's all blending together, and that makes people terribly uncomfortable. But if you're clever, you know how to do it well.
Now, you were talking about, rebrands. Mm-hmm. And, thinking about that as you're talking about those sorts of misfires that we've seen. And we don't need to name names. It doesn't matter. But on the other side of that, you know, the NBA logo, which, you know, I guarantee if anybody went to change the NBA logo tomorrow, it would be considered a misfire no matter what they did.
That's interesting.
I just feel like it would be. Like, I don't feel like certain logos are, like, they're so ingrained in our culture.
They are.
That, you know, if you go to change it, you know, you're going to get some angry people. I mean, you know, do you come out the other side of it unscathed? Nobody really knows until you try it, I suppose. But I wonder when it comes to branding, you know, you said branding might need a rebrand. Number one, what is the purpose that a lot of these brands are looking to achieve with these rebrands? Because it doesn't feel like many of them had a purpose other than, well, we need to freshen things up. We need to see our name in headlines for a while. We need to, you know, are they rethinking what they're doing? Are they rethinking how they approach what they're doing, the products they sell, the services they offer? Or is it, well, geez, John, we didn't have anything to announce this week. I don't know, change the logo. You know what I mean? Like, I'd hate to ever think it was that simple, but some of them feel so, I don't know, like the entire process and the thought behind it was just completely neglected. And then somebody decided, well, we'll just do it. Well, you know, we'll deal with it later.
Yeah.
And it's such an important part of your identity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can totally understand why some of the recent headlines make it seem like it's just, we woke up today. We decided we were going to rebrand and all press is good press.
Yeah.
You know, all coverage, all buzz is good buzz. It's going to juice our valuation, what have you. Traditionally, that's not how one would approach the need for a rebrand, right? There would be a business strategy that leads into that, meaning that you've uncovered an opportunity to grow your market. You know, you're developing products and services that evolve the audience and sort of like the customers in some way that you need to talk to. You're getting ready for an IPO. You're getting ready for a merger, spinoff, an acquisition moment. And you want to make sure that if the deal goes through, and right now that's kind of a really legit question, that you're retaining the value of your brand and you're retaining your customers through those moments, but you're also extending into the areas that you want to reach the new customers. And, you know, sometimes it's just about positioning to get ready to do a bunch of transactions, right? Where, you know, if you're a master brand and you're thinking that you're planning on having several vertical acquisitions, you know, this happens in media.
Yeah.
Quite a lot. Oh, yeah. I mean, just watch, you know. But I think the challenge right now is the unpredictability and again, sort of the complexity of really understanding what's going on, because it does feel, especially in media, that there's this sense of chaos. What is leading this? Where are the answers? Nobody knows. Nobody knows exactly how to increase their stock price, but everybody thinks there's value in that. Everybody would love for that to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Thinking about future proofing a brand. This is my last question.
Yeah.
What do you think future proofing a brand really means in 2025? I mean, it would seem like that's vastly different than it was 10 years ago. When I say future proofing, what do you think of?
I think of your focus on your customer and balancing what moves your customer emotionally and behaviorally and listening to that always and allowing for enough dynamism within your brand strategy, within your media mix, the ability to respond in an instant in a way that supports that connection is how you stay relevant. It's how you, you know, keep going forward. And I think that one of the things I've heard a lot about this week is the idea of surprising, delighting. Mm. Like, I haven't heard that phrase in like 20 years, right? And if you can still keep up with your customers and surprise and delight them, just wow.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. That's that. You have to stand apart with that. But again, I just, you know, the simplicity thing really just drives back into the connection, the intuitive connection that people have and never losing that.
Well, if one wanted to find out more about the Illuminati or Siegel & Gale, where should they go?
Well, yeah, I mean, siegelandgale.com. It's subscribe to our newsletter. Absolutely. Find us on social, of course. Yeah, we'd love to chat. We run into the gnarliest challenges, you know, where others run away, where we just go straight for them. We tackle them, and we're a hardworking bunch.
So. Excellent. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to be on today. This was very enjoyable.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's growing library of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts. And before we go, a special thank you to Art19, our partner for AW360 Live at Advertising Week New York. To learn more about Art19, visit art19.com.